Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We wanted to reach out to people in the community that we knew really sincerely cared about community. Well, we found someone, and her name is Erica Ellis Stewart. She is a mother, she's a wife, title is Director of Education and Advocacy. Mental Health America is where she's at, Central Carolina. So, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Francine. How are you?
Thank goodness for social media during our stay-at-home, shelter-in-place orders, because I saw you on social media inviting people to join you for certain situations.
Absolutely. I try to do a check-in at least once a week just to see how people are doing. We are all living in precedented times in the age of COVID-19 and wanting people to really stay abreast of their emotional well-being, their mental health, and then just making sure they've got resources at the ready for any type of issue or crisis they might be encountering as we go through this unique period in history.
Well, you know, it's always been easy for us to say, I don't have any issues, I'm okay. But these days, it's challenging us to see ourselves, live with ourselves, find out some things we didn't really know about ourselves. And some of the challenges right now that we're facing is the mood is down, anxiety is high, sometimes suicide, just the thought of those words, suicide. Then we have another population in our community who's hungry. So at least we're listening to one another now. How about that?
Well, and that's a good thing because so many times we don't see each other. We become invisible and we don't see the humanity of other people. And, you know, right now is the time to, one, see and recognize our own humanity, right? When you strip it down to the basics, who we are, but also to see your brothers and sisters who may be in need of connection, maybe in need of food, maybe in need of how do I even make money to support my family, or how do I just stay up, right?
Exactly, because every day is different. Although it's weird, we're at home all the time, but every day is different.
It really is, and that's why I tell people to do a check-in with yourself daily, because one day you're doing well, the next day you're like, I didn't get anything accomplished today. The following day, you're like, I ate 27 cookies and I'm crying and I don't know why. So checking in each day and where you are that day is fine, but just recognizing this is where I am and not just keeping that all to yourself, making sure the people around you know how to support you.
Because we don't have a booklet on how to cope and how to deal with a shelter in place. Because some of us are in school and we're not that great of an online student, but we're being forced into that situation. So there's some anxiety there.
Absolutely. And even for the parents, many of the parents who have younger school age children are having to become teachers and educators and homeschoolers. And it's a new dynamic. People are not used to being home all day with their kids, their extended family, their spouses and partners. And so learning how to navigate relationships while in close quarters for extended periods of time can test each and every one of us. So that check-in is necessary, but those communication skills are even more vital at this time.
And from what I understand, you're doing a little tutoring online as well.
I don't know if I would call it tutoring, but I do try to just get people to keep a barometer of their emotional well-being. And so I do talk about things like self-care tips and tools and things you can do to maintain your emotional balance, if you will. And it's not rocket science, but it's some of the things that we often forget when we are stressed or when we feel vulnerable.
Right. And the many years that you served our community through CMS, Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools, I was even thinking about this before we had free breakfasts, free lunches.
I was just going to say, absolutely. We know that with the public school virtual these days, many of the young people in our community depended on school breakfasts or school lunches or both as their primary meals. And now that that is kind of non-existent, we're looking for different ways in the community to make sure that children and families are being fed. And so many of the schools have become what we call grab-and-go locations where children and their families can get meals free of cost. We also know the school system is actually equipping bus drivers and other staff members to go out into particular communities to serve food. And we know that many of our food pantries, Loaves and Fishes, Second Harvest Food Bank, many of our churches are all stepping up to make sure that in the shelter in place order, that our bellies are not empty, right? That's going to be critically important because many people are out of work. So that's just one basic need we can make sure that gets met for all of the folks within our community.
Thanks for sharing that. I guess a memo went out or an email went out or maybe a phone call went out to parents to let them know about that or word of mouth. You know, everything's great with word of mouth.
I think people are trying just about every single mechanism. I get tons of emails about different resources. I've seen things on social media. I've heard it on the radio. The school system has sent communication to parents as well as, I guess, the Connect Ed messages. But the nonprofit community, and I work for Mental Health America, the nonprofit community is really trying to figure out how do we pivot and serve the community in the current reality. And so whether that's providing meals or other supports, I know our organization, we are teaching suicide prevention classes virtually every Thursday because, as you mentioned, for many people, their anxiety is heightened, or maybe they've never experienced anxiety before. And now they are, or maybe they're feeling depressed. We need more people than ever now to understand what does it look like that someone's experiencing signs of suicidal thoughts or behaviors, because we're entering into the time of year where we see the most deaths by suicide. We see the most deaths by suicide in the late spring and early summer. Most people believe it's at Christmas, at Thanksgiving, during the holidays, or during the winter. But the data shows that the most death by suicide happens in the late spring. And so if you add on top of that COVID-19, stay at home and shelter in place orders, we can see that there can be a tremendous increase in the number of deaths by suicide. I don't know if you know this, Francine, but we actually lose over 48,000 people in the country to suicide every year.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. We are losing a great number of people to suicide, and we don't talk about that. It's not a subject that is rolled easily off your tongue. That's where MHA, myself, and my colleagues come into play, because we help people to see, what does it look like? What can I do? I'm just a regular person. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a mental health practitioner. What can I do? And then making sure they know about resources. We see that for most people, they don't think about the behavioral health or the mental health service arena until they need it or until someone's in crisis. And then it's like, oh my goodness, what do I do? And so we try to be very proactive to introduce people to a variety of mental health and behavioral health and suicide prevention resources that are within our community, within the region, and even nationally, so that they're armed with that information when they need it.
If you're just now tuning in, we have a new best friend this morning. It's Erica Ella Stewart. She is joining us so that we can talk about a couple of things that we're going through as we're shelter in place in the Carolinas. She is our Director of Education and Advocacy, Mental Health America Central Carolinas. So what made you get into this business of mental health?
It's a couple of reasons. It's very personal to me. As you know, I spent most of my career working with and for children and families in a variety of roles, and I had the opportunity to be up close and personal what it was like for young people and their caregivers to experience mental health concerns, but also to experience them and not get connected to help. So that's one part of the reason that I'm at the table. The other part of it is, for me as a Black female, I have what's called lived experience. I'm someone who has my own mental health diagnosis. I've lived with a mental health diagnosis since my early 20s. And I feel it's very important, particularly in communities of color, to talk about that, to let people know that there's no shame, there's no stigma, right? One in five of us will have a diagnosable mental health concern. And so when I talk openly about my diagnosis to someone who looks like me, a light goes off and they say, aha, well, let me tell you about what's been happening with me, or what's happening with my mother, or what's happening with my sister, and I didn't know what to do. And now we can begin to get people connected to information that they can use, not just people's opinion and stigma that oftentimes creates a barrier, but information that they can use, and then services and support that will get that person to the place of what we call recovery, which is vitally important, because oftentimes we believe in the Black community, and specifically, that if you are dealing with a mental health concern, it's a matter of your state. And I'm here to tell you that a mental health issue is a matter of your health. It is a diagnosable medical condition. Just like if you have diabetes, your friends and family can pray for you, but they're going to also say, did you take your metformin today? Have you seen your doctor? Did you go to the specialist? Are you walking to get those pounds off your waist? Are you drinking water? Right? We're going to pray for you and inquire about those other pieces that are part of your wellness. But when someone's dealing with a mental health concern, it's all about, we're only going to pray for you. We're not going to say, do you have a therapist? Do you have a psychiatrist? Is medication as a part of your regimen? Are you doing those things? And so I tell people in our community, you can have Jesus and a therapist. They're not mutually exclusive.
Thank you for sharing that. And I wanted to pick up on the point that you were making. Do you need a therapist? Do you need a psychiatrist? Can you go down a quick little list there? Because sometimes when we're depressed, if we haven't researched this before, you know, we're reaching out to anything and everything. And sometimes it might be a substance.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the community, we have lots of different helpers that can support us if we have a mental health concern. Typically, you'll hear the word therapist or psychotherapist or counselor used interchangeably. These are typically individuals who use what we call talk therapy, and there are lots of different types of talk therapy, and counselors have different types of training. And so I tell people, just like you would do when you're buying a car, what are the features that you need? What's going to work for you? You need to kick the tires and kind of give it a test run. Same thing with a counselor. Do you want someone that's going to keep your faith tradition in perspective? Do you need someone that's the same gender or race and ethnicity as you? Do you need someone who is going to use what we call cognitive behavioral therapy or dialectical behavioral? So do your research. You may hear about what we call a licensed clinical social worker. They can do not only the talk therapy, but also a lot of connectiveness around other supports that that individual or family may need. And then when you hear the word psychiatrist, these are more medically trained individuals who are really going to look at diagnosing what you're dealing with. We have a big giant book called the DSM-5. It's got like 8-point font and 5 billion pages. But they'll work on the diagnostic piece, and if a person is using medication, they'll be the one who will prescribe the medication for that individual.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. And another thing popped in my mind, you know, women are so multifaceted, right? For women.
Absolutely. We do it all.
We do it all. And do we get thanks? Okay, that's not this kind of show, but women in general, we do so much. We don't know how to slow down unless we're forced with a stroke or something of that nature. But let's talk about hormones, because we think that's a little, that tips us over the edge. If the hormones are off, tips us over the edge.
Yeah, it can. It can, absolutely. You know, with women, you know, for years and years, we've heard the whole story about PMS and all of these things. We know that our bodies are complex entities, and so the way that our hormones interact with our body can do some things. And, you know, really that's the same story with mental health concerns overall. And so that's why our self-care is so vitally important. What we do each day to to make sure that our physical and emotional well-being stays optimal.
Our guest this morning is Erica. Erica is so awesome, isn't she? Erica Ellis Stewart. She's telling us to check in with ourselves each and every day and give us permission and some slack if we're not productive that day, right?
Right. Give yourself some grace.
We don't have a lot of diversity and variety in our life. Our big thing now is just going to the grocery store, going to the mailbox. Erica is the director of education and advocacy at Mental Health America Central Carolinas. Answer this, and I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit. So say, sure. For instance, our teen, thank goodness I'm not a teen during these times. I'm not sure if I would survive. These teens are so strong, but we say they're weak, but they have so much to deal with. And when the parents do take them into a therapist, a psychotherapist for some talk therapy or a psychiatrist, sometimes prescriptions are suggested. Is that always the best way to go out of the gate?
It really depends on how that individual is presenting. Obviously, I am not a psychiatrist. I'm not a clinician. But I would say it depends on the way that person is presenting, the severity of the signs and symptoms that they are showing. Are there doctors who that's their only answer? Of course. Like I said before, you're going to want to, you know, make sure you have selected a clinician that fits your child, your teen, or yourself. If you don't want medication right out of the gate, ask them what their philosophy is. So that's a great question.
All right, you have got to join us again. I know I said, look, just one time, Erica, but it might be two times. Erica Ellis Stewart is joining us this morning, Director of Education and Advocacy at the Mental Health America Central Carolina's office. Thank you so much. And we can go online, mhacentralcarolinas.org. That's mhacentralcarolinas.org. Or we can catch Miss Erica on Instagram and Twitter at Queen City Erica, right?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
And Erica is spelled E-R-I-C-K-A. All right, thank you, and please join us again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Francine. I enjoyed being with you today.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.